From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 22nd day of January 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vague. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look at the weather forecast for Argentina in particular, Brazil as well, as the marketplace has been reacting to rainfall there. That'll happen with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. We'll hear all about the RFS from Washington, D.C. U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley will join us to discuss what he's been up to, along with U.S. Senator Dick Durbin from right here in the state of Illinois. And it all happens during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Checking now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group. Nearby soft red winter wheat at $5.61 and a quarter. That's the March, down a penny for the day. July at $5.74. Settlement price 1 1/2 lower. Hard red July at $6.16 and a half, up 2 1/2 cents. March corn up a penny and a quarter at $4.26 and a quarter in Chicago. May at $4.33, 0.75 cents higher in July. Corn futures $4.39 a bushel, up a half. September unchanged $4.42 and a half. And new crop December at $4.47 and a half in the corn pit, up a half. March of 2015 at $4.57 and a quarter, up 1/2 cents. March soybeans $12.81, up a half. The May at $12.65, up a penny. July futures $12.52 and a quarter, 2 1/2 higher, and the August at $12.17, up 2 1/4. November beans at $11.13, up 4, and January of 2015 at $11.18 and a half, 4 cents higher for the day. Bean meal at $4.19.40, up 2.90, and bean oil at $37.84, down 26 cents. Live cattle futures finished the February at $143.67 and a half, $2.12 and a half higher, and the April at $141.80, up $1.57 and a half. January feeders at $170.47 and a half, up 67 and a half cents for the day, and the March at $170.37 and a half, $2.05 higher. Lean hogs in the February contract $85.55, down 42 and a half cents. April at $92.97 and a half. Finished 60 cents higher for the day. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon are trading the nearby March contract at $96.75 a barrel, $1.78 higher. The RBOB gasoline at $2.67 and 9 cents, that's up 5 8/10 of a cent for the day. And ethanol futures at $1.85 are down 3 1/2 cents. The difference between the two is 82 9/10 of a cent wide. That's 9 3/10 of a cent wider than it was at its finish on yesterday afternoon. Natural gas now trading at $4.70 and 4 tenths of a cent, up 27 3/10, and diesel fuel at $3.04 a gallon, 2 1/2 cents higher. Gold futures at $1,238.60, finished down $3.20 for the day. We're under hazardous weather conditions for the afternoon. Chance of snow set at 50%, scattered showers, cloudy, a high of 18 degrees, wind chill values between 1 and 6 degrees above, west-southwest winds at 17 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 25 right here in Urbana-Champaign. Tonight, scattered snow showers before 7, mostly cloudy with a low of minus 3, wind chill values between negative 13 and 23 below. It'll be blustery with a west-northwest wind at 18 to 23 miles an hour tonight, gusting as high as 32. Chance of precipitation or snowfall, that is, this evening, set at 30%. Tomorrow, partly sunny and cold, a high of just 7 degrees, wind chills between 16 and 26 below. Blustery winds with a west-northwest wind at 17 to 20, gusting all the way to 29, and partly cloudy going into Thursday evening with a high of 25 degrees. It'll be breezy. With a southwest wind at 11 to 16, that'll increase to 23 to 28. That's actually on Friday. On Thursday night, will be really cold. And then Friday evening, a 50% chance of snow as after 7 in the evening, mostly cloudy, and a low of 19 degrees. It'll be breezy on Friday night. More on the weather later in the cast. Let's check now what's been happening in the futures markets. On the phone line with us here at Illinois Public Media is Jackie Vakes for this 22nd day of January 2014. She's with Stuart Peterson from Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start this afternoon with the corn. You wrote me a note and said it looks to be rather range-bound at the moment.
Yeah, rather boring, I think. You know, when you look at least on old crop corn, 420 to 440, you know, if we break out of that range, I would say $4 is probably in the game and $4.50 possibly on the high side. You know, it's a tough one. That 445 and three quarters is going to be a very difficult number to get through, but I do think that we might have a chance to be able to do it. Deese, on the other hand, put a double top in with yesterday's at 449. So, you know, the question will be, will tomorrow follow through and hold that or not? We don't know. I am going to bounce back to March a little bit too, Todd. We did come in here on the daily chart and actually, you know, touch a trend line, a long-term trend line, and that kind of gives us a little bit of support on that March too. You know, right now corn is just the feed of choice to livestock, so I think, you know, when you look at the activity in terms of demand for corn is good. You know, yesterday China came out and said, no, we're not going to stockpile anymore. Today they came out and said, oh, we're going to buy more corn, and clarified that the stockpiling or the lack of is going to go on just in a few places. And we saw Japan come in and actually buy 105 million metric tons for new crops. So, you know, the corn market is just poised and waiting, basically, to find out what export numbers are for tomorrow. When we look at exports, tomorrow will be the first time that we'll really see the export numbers that reflect the higher level that we went after the report. And so I think all of us are just waiting to see once what that has to say. If it's not good, then I guess we'll probably go back down and test the 420 again.
So what's not good? What number would be not good for tomorrow's export figure?
Well, I'd have to say I haven't seen any estimates out yet, but the estimates of late have been fairly high. And so I think anything that comes in below the estimates would be considered not good. If it's way below the estimates, then we might really test that 420 level.
Turn your attention to Argentina yesterday, and I was out of the office in Mount Vernon for one of the corn and soybean classics. By the way, if you were scheduled to be at the iHotel for the corn and soybean classic, that's next week on January the 28th. Kind of hard to believe that twice in one year we nearly got canceled in Mount Vernon in southern Illinois because of rough weather, but it was a bad day yesterday. On the beans, though, they had rainfall in Argentina yesterday, and it seemed to really just wreak havoc in Chicago.
Well, it did, and, you know, I think we have to put things in perspective. We gained 38 cents on beans last week. You know, when you look at that, would you not expect to see some major profit-taking come in? I don't think it was a big surprise. Today was interesting. We tested the long-term uptrend from November 2011 at that 1272 level. We bounced off of it, but we've got to find ourselves, you know, closing above 1280 again to expect that we're going to make any kind of a move upside. Now, when you look at the export sales on beans, Todd, it's pretty interesting. Inspections, we've already shipped 71% of all the exports that we've sold, and that's at only 37% of the crop year. So, and then you add on to that that the sales are way over what the USDA has for expectations. So I think that, you know, there's a good argument there that we should see the higher side again. You know, you look at the volatility in beans, though, that's the thing that people have to really recognize. You know, yesterday, again, China said no stockpiling. Today they came back and they buy more. You know, that volatility is going to be there, and it's going to be there for a long time. Argentine rains not only affected things, but the fact that the Argentine strike was called off after only about 6 hours. And Argentina actually met with what they call the Paris Club, which is where the majority of their debt, they have $100 billion in debt there, to renegotiate that. And, you know, they've been kept away from the money ever since 2000, 2001, when they actually tipped over the government down there. So this would be an interesting thing, too, to find out if they can actually get some of their debt under control and get the inflation under control. But I look at November beans, Todd, and, you know, November beans are just also looking for direction. The big thing we've got is 1129 as a high. So far this week we've made 1128 with 1095 as a bottom. I think that we'll just continue to look back and forth in that range until we know more about what we're going to actually do from a planting standpoint.
come back to the old crop for me very quickly? You mentioned that we were 71% shipped. Do you know how far along are we normally? 71%, and we're what? Not quite 40% of the way, as you mentioned, through the marketing year.
Right.
But necessarily, things tend to turn to South America and other places to gather beans as new crops come in. Do you think 71% is ahead or behind of schedule? Does it make much difference at this time?
It's not too far off from what we were doing last year, and that's the concerning part, because we do know that, you know, things really slowed down, and that had a negative impact. So in normal years, we would never be this far ahead. So we know that we're doing front-loading again, and a lot of that is related to China. China's the big taker of beans. There's just no two ways about it. And so I think that that's something that everybody has to be aware of, especially guys who are sitting on old crop beans. If you get another chance, and that's a big if, I think it can happen, but you had better either be putting some puts in place or making some sales. And, you know, I'm hearing some pretty good basis prices both in corn and beans right now. So I think that it's important that you look at that, too. I've talked to some guys who've actually locked in a really good basis contract and are now just waiting for the bounce to come back.
In the wheat market, it's been really cold. And even here in Illinois, Madison County, which is the number one soft red winter wheat producer in the state, has been very cold, although we've had quite a bit of snow cover.
We have, and there's less concern about the soft red wheat, of course, because of the stocks that we've got on it, than there is about the KC wheat. And the KC wheat's got two things that are working against it. Number one, they've had a brutal winter out there, too, and the brutality of their winter has been more related to extremely cold and then sudden breaks in the cold and a little bit warmer, which is really tough on wheat, but it's the ongoing drought that they've got out there, too. You know, this wheat was not planted in perfect condition, and so when I look at the continuous charts, Todd, on old crop, we should have good support here at the 560 level, and new crop should, be at the 570 level for soft red. So it's going to be interesting. We've seen a little bit of lifting of the record short positions, and I think if, let's say, Brazil would come in and actually lift the import tax like they've been talking about, and or China comes in, they've been hinting that they may buy some wheat, we could see a nice bounce back off of this. We've got some very good technical as well as some fundamental strength here, and so I think that too lends support to corn, which is definitely what it needs.
In the livestock, we better talk about the cattle. They just keep going up.
Oh, my gosh. Well, today was really a wild day. You know, we hit limit up on February, basically on all new record cash prices. We actually saw 1,000 head of cattle in Texas and 1,000 head of cattle in Kansas traded $1.47 cash on a 60 to 65% grade. Now, mind you, those are really, really good cattle, but it doesn't make a difference. This is a whole new record. Now, I think that I said to you earlier, we need to draw some analogies here between the cattle market and its performance and perhaps the corn market. Because when you look at the cattle market and you look at the choice select ratio, meaning that we've got a lot of green cattle standing in the lots right now versus the choice, and yet they're doing things that fundamentally says not possible. How often do we get Wednesday purchases of beef? Not very often. Mostly it's Thursdays or Fridays. So I would suggest on the grain side of things, you better be prepared for anything. In other words, what I'm saying is, you know, we've had some pretty decent opportunity here to get calls into place just in case this market turns and goes the opposite direction. And it can. Now, am I saying lift hedges? Absolutely not. I'm going to look to see to lift hedges, but I want some more definite information from this market before I want to do that. But I do think it makes sense to get yourself in a position where you could see this market take a bounce. And if you've got some calls in place, you got the guts to be able to make the sale because you know you've got ongoing interest in it. Because in the cattle market, believe me, all those guys were sitting back and nobody was buying calls, so I can tell you that. They didn't believe that this market could go back above that 138 high, and it has just literally kicked the socks out of everybody, and the margin calls have kicked the socks. That's why it's another good reason, you know, buy a straight call and not find yourself or buy a straight put perhaps and be prepared. But packer margins are 2.5-year highs, so we'll see once what Cattle on Feet says on Friday.
Hey, thanks so much, Jackie.
You betcha. Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. When we come back, we'll take a look at the
agricultural news for the afternoon.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
In today's agricultural news, a new study conducted by Life Cycle Associates, a California-based company, the carbon footprint of corn ethanol continues to shrink. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen says, meanwhile, the carbon impacts associated with crude oil production continue to worsen as more marginal sources are introduced into the fuel supply. Dineen says the study ties in with EPA's proposal to lower the renewable fuel standard this year.
If, in fact, EPA were to move forward with its proposal to reduce the RFS, carbon emissions would go up. We wanted to take a look at just what the impact of ethanol is on carbon relative to the gasolines that would likely be required if ethanol were rolled back. It's going to be increased fracking. It's going to be more tar sands, more drilling deeper in the Gulf of Mexico, all of which would have a more significant carbon footprint than just your average petroleum.
The deadline to comment on EPA's proposal is the 28th day of January. Let's stay with the happenings in Washington, D.C., where South Dakota Senator John Thune has confirmed that the Farm Bill conferees are going back to the drawing board on the dairy title. He says Speaker John Boehner opposed the supply management component of the Dairy Security Act and will block a vote on the legislation if it contains the provision. Thune says finding middle ground with the dairy program is difficult, but he hopes the conference can reach a compromise.
And I just hope that the differences can continue to get narrowed to where we actually can put the dairy title to bed, because once we do that, we've got a few little other thorny outstanding issues on payment limits and persons and entities and that sort of thing, but I think we can get those resolved and we can get this thing across the finish line.
Meanwhile, he says they already have USDA preparing for implementation of the livestock indemnity program to provide those payments as quickly as possible.
What we're going to do is everything we can to just push them to expedite that, use whatever powers are at their disposal, authorities, to get this thing up and running as quickly as possible.
Senator Thune is hopeful USDA can write the livestock indemnity program rules within 6 months. Speaking of livestock, an industry expert is encouraging pork producers not to let their guard down when it comes to PEDV, or porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. PEDV is a virus that has already plagued many countries around the globe, and it arrived in the United States last fall. It hit its momentum in December. Alltech swine business leader Russell Gilliam says health has become one of the main focuses in the pig barn, and producers are seeing the key to success in implementing a combination of biosecurity measures and nutritional health management programs. Since the virus is easily transmitted through indirect and direct contact, Gilliam says producers must be cautious of many mediums, from animal contact to vehicles, personal clothing, and equipment. He says producers need to watch what's coming and going out of the pig barn. And finally, today on the international front, agricultural ministers from 65 countries recently released a joint statement that the efforts to rid the world of hunger face immense challenges as farmers deal with resource scarcity, climate change, and a loss of soil fertility. As world population is expected to reach about 9 billion in 2050, its estimated food production will have to rise 60%. But with uncertainty putting investment at risk, the ministers wrote that the efficacy of the entire food system could be reduced. That's why they said it's important to enable agriculture to adapt to new conditions, deal with risk, and recover quickly from crises. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Naturally, you're listening to Illinois Public Media, the home of the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and so much more. You can find it all online at willag.org, including our John Deere bus trip that's scheduled for the 10th, 11th, and 12th of March. For about $500, you can come along with us. We'll be visiting the Harvester Works plant, where they make John Deere combines in Moline, and the tractor plant in Waterloo, Iowa. Hopefully, we'll be visiting along with some executives from John Deere over that 2.5-day trip. It should be really fun. Almost everything is included, just $500 a person. You can visit our website at willag.org for all the details.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now up next, more on U.S. EPA and the RFS. Two U.S. senators are spearheading a bipartisan letter to EPA opposing the agency's proposal to significantly pare the renewable fuel standard. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says he's teamed up with Illinois Senator Dick Durbin on the RFS letter.
Senator Durbin and I are leading a bipartisan effort to voice Senate opposition to this proposed change in RFS mandate. We're circulating a letter to the administration and expect to have a large number of senators sign on of both political parties.
The EPA comment period closes next Tuesday, though Grassley says if Administrator Gina McCarthy extends it, that would signal she's considering a way to satisfy all parties. Ultimately, Grassley thinks the decision will rest with the president.
The White House is going to have to step in. I think that's what it's going to take in the final analysis. But if he doesn't step in, this is a big win for big oil. And I can't see the president wanting to, since he's been on big oil, wanting to tax them more, not drill on public land. I would think he would not want to give big oil a big victory, but that's what he's going to do.
That's Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Those wanting to make comment on the renewable fuel standard program changes as proposed by the United States Environmental Protection Agency can do so by visiting regulations.gov. That's www.regulations.gov. Just look for the headline, Renewable Fuel Standard Program 2014 Standards.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, I checked in with the folks at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons there in Logansport, Indiana. They're out of the office this afternoon, so no cash crane update from them. Just a quick reminder of some things that are happening this week. Our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event is Friday evening. Probably can still get to the links to make yourself available for that if you want, but you might want to give me a call, too. Let me give you my direct number. That's 217-333-9697. Again, that's 217-333-9697. You can call me if you'd like to come to the Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. There are still a couple of places left for that event. But more importantly, you can look forward to our John Deere Follow the Corn bus trip. I think this one's going to be really fun, but if you're going to do it, please do get yourself scheduled. We need to know that we're actually going to have enough folks to go by the 9th day of February, so don't Terry on that one. If you're interested, get signed up at willag.org. You'll find all the details. You can call us here at 217-333-7300 if you want, and we'll provide you a way to get more information on our John Deere bus trip. We'll go see the combines being made in the Quad Cities and then hop over to Iowa to Waterloo. We'll watch the tractors being made there as well. It's all for about $500. You can find more information at willag.org. In just a couple of minutes, I'll be back. We'll take a look at the weather forecast.
It's National Blonde Brownie Day. Blondies predated chocolate brownies, appearing in American cookbooks no later than the mid-19th century. The forerunner of the blondie was a gingerbread soft chewy cake. By the 1950s, butterscotch brownies were described as blondies. It's also Feast of St. Vincent, patron of wine growers and vinegar makers. On this day in agricultural history in 1887, Sir Joseph Whitworth died. an English mechanical engineer, he was the pioneer of precision measurement, and he held patents for machine tools as well as textile and knitting machinery. In 1892, Coca-Cola Incorporated. In 1997, Alvin Stockman died, an American plant pathologist and educator. He established methods for identifying and combating disease in wheat and other food crops. And in 1997, although it doesn't have a lot to do with agriculture, we like the story, Lottie Williams of Tulsa, Oklahoma, became the first person known to have been hit by man-made debris from space. She was struck on the shoulder while walking in a park by a small piece of a used Delta II rocket that had been used to launch a military satellite in April of 1996. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line to take up the weathercast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet is Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, let's start in Argentina today, where it has been and remains very hot, but they have been getting rainfall. What do you see?
Well, there's a significant storm system that will occur tonight and will continue tomorrow across some of the most important crop areas that have been driest and hottest in the last few weeks. We actually think there will be a severe thunderstorm outbreak tonight across northwest through central portions of Buenos Aires, and we'll probably see some 2 to 4 inch rains in a small region there, along with some hail and some damaging wind, may actually do some more damage to a few crops out there, but shouldn't be widespread, but nevertheless, it'll still be a rough night. We will expect to see rain of about 8/10 of an inch to around 2.5 inches for most of Argentina's key crop areas over the next 2 days. The only areas that will not get significant precipitation will be in the southwest, in the state or provinces of La Pampa and southwestern parts of Buenos Aires. We will see cooler temperatures occur over the end of the week and into the weekend, and then some more showers for follow-up precipitation will take place next week. So it looks like the worst of it all is probably about over for Argentina, at least for a while.
Has it done much damage, do you suppose, the heat at this point? I'm not quite certain how far along both their corn and soybean crop might be.
Yeah, the early corn crop has probably been hurt the most, and perhaps a little bit of the sunseed. Soybeans, I think, are probably okay in a general sense. There's certainly some fields that are going to be at a loss, but it shouldn't be tremendous. I'm thinking that maybe about 20% of the total corn production is at risk of losses from this past couple of weeks, and maybe about 15% of the soybean crop. But if those are only at-risk crops, I don't think we'll see damage anywhere near those figures. But there will be some potential for losses, and I think we'll actually realize it, like you said, mostly for the early corn crop.
And then if you go further north into Brazil, what condition are their crops in?
You know, I don't see anything that's going to come along that will cause the Brazil crop to be smaller. It just looks like a tremendous crop. They put so much in the ground. The weather has been almost ideal throughout the growing season. And over these next few weeks, I don't see enough wet weather to cause any serious problems with harvesting or quality of the crop as it waits to be harvested. So I think it's going to be a tremendous crop. And I think regardless of what happens in Argentina, I think Brazil is still going to have the dominating impact on the marketplace, which is probably going to be a little bearish, I imagine.
Thank you so much, Drew, for taking the time with us. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a good day too. I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.